When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We don't have full control over who we're attracted to. That's part of the problem. Sometimes we're attracted to the wrong people. But we do have control over the investment lever. How much do I give to you? How much effort do I put in? I have full control over that. And just because I get attracted to you, it doesn't mean I should invest in you.
It is hard to remember that. How many hot assholes are out there? You know, like there's so many people that I'm like, oh, you are so fine.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, like if you just didn't talk,
yeah,
it'd be so much better.
Yeah. Or you're like, but they're my hot asshole.
Right. They're mine. They like me too.
He's not an asshole to me.
Yeah.
All of the time.
Yeah. And I think sometimes too, there's a bit of flattery that feels like investment if a hot person is like giving you just like the bare minimum, you know, because you're like, oh, they think I'm hot too.
Yeah.
You know,
literally just choosing to be out seen with you feels like an investment from a hot person.
It does.
Because you're like, well, you're hot. You could be out with so many different people, but you're coming out with me.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your co-host, Erica Sparrow.
And I'm Molly DeMillier.
And we've got a great episode this week, getting into some Matthew Hussey tips.
It has been a minute since we've not talked with Hussey. I feel like we're friends, though.
Yeah, we have. We've talked to him. Yeah. He just hasn't heard us. Yeah. We've talked to him. Yeah, we haven't visited him in a minute. But he has some good stuff about basically how to determine if someone's committing to you or if they're going to commit, kind of how to get them to commit. It is cuffing season.
Yes. Perfect for this time of year. And the other thing that I really like about this video that I haven't really taken note of before, this one is more recent. So
yes.
He actually like kind of talks about COVID a little bit,
uh-huh.
which I think is really, really helpful because a lot of his stuff that we've used, some of his videos are like 5-7 years old.
Yeah, he's been around for a minute.
Yeah, he's not young anymore. He still looks it though. I need his skincare routine. I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah, he's hot.
He's so hot.
Come on the pod whenever you want.
I know.
Matthew Hussey, get in here.
And that accent.
I mean, yeah.
I cannot. I'm unwell.
Listen, it's probably part of the reason he's successful, but I do like a lot of his advice. Yeah. Real quick. I have a scenario for you.
Okay.
Up top.
Lay it on me.
All right. I have a friend.
Okay.
Dating a girl 6 months. He's like 99% sure he wants to end it.
All right. End it.
All right.
Get out.
She's coming to visit. It's a distance thing.
Okay.
All right. The whole thing hasn't been distance. It's been distance for a few months. She is moving back to New York in like 2 months.
So a few months of a few months long relationship though.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a lot.
But it's the reason he wants to break up with her is not distance. All right.
Okay.
So she's coming to visit for Halloween weekend. He got her a ticket to come visit. She's staying with him during the visit.
Okay.
He posed the question to me and two other women last night of, if I want to break up with her, when should I break up with her? Like, do I do it in person while she's here? Do I do it before she comes so that she doesn't come? Do I do it after the trip?
He bought the tickets, right?
He bought her the ticket to come.
I feel like I don't think she should come.
I'm in that boat. I would rather someone call me and be like, and second thought, I don't think you should come this weekend.
Yeah, because it's like, she's not going to be out any money, you know? And also, if you do it before you go out to all the Halloween parties, that's just awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's going to be miserable. Honestly, that would probably cost her more money because she might go get a hotel.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And just kind of be stranded or like have to go stay with friends. And if you do it after she leaves, she's going to think that she did something wrong. Like, I know that if that was me and I hadn't seen someone, or even the times like I have been broken up with, I always think back to the last time that we were together and mm-hmm. think that there was like something that I should have noticed or that I did wrong that I could have fixed it. And it was all like kind of around this one moment, which yeah. isn't true, but it's kind of this crazy psychological game that you play.
Of course. Are you thinking the last time you felt like something was off?
Yeah.
And whatever that conversation or day was, you replay in your head.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that could be super confusing about that situation particularly is, so okay, so say he waits until the end or after she goes home and ends it, it's after a weekend that they have probably just had a really great time together, because Halloween yeah. weekend is just constant parties, dressing up, having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So, or he might get trigger shy and not do it and then uh-huh. elongate the relationship, because like if you just have a really really fun weekend, he might be like, oh, I'm crazy, I shouldn't have been thinking like this, and they're probably gonna have sex. And mm-hmm. then it's now you're like 8 months in, and that's a different breakup
mm-hmm.
than the 6 month one. I feel like that's just an easy you can get out of.
Yeah, it feels like, I mean, I've never been in a distance thing, right? But same. It feels like each trip of distance is almost as if there was just a holiday / birthday that just happened. That there's kind of this thing of like, okay, if she comes out for the weekend, goes home, what am I going to believe you're going to pull the trigger that week?
Right.
I don't think you will, because it'll be like, well, they were just here.
And how far is the distance?
Ohio to NYC. Not like a crazy long flight. I think it's only like a 2.5 hour flight.
But they're not, you know, just driving down. It's not like
no.
hour drive or something like that.
No, she's okay. got to fly here.
Yeah. So they probably, like you said, are only seeing each other for around like big moments.
Yeah, a bit. Yeah.
Which also inherently changes the dynamic of the time that you spend together.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
I just, it's funny that your first thought was, if I got broken up with after a weekend of visiting someone, you would think, what did I do during that weekend that was wrong?
Yeah.
My first thought would be like, how long were you sitting on you knew you wanted to break up with me?
Yeah.
Because I would be like, you should have not had me come if you felt that way. Because I don't like the idea of being around you and you being fake to me all weekend. Of like, yeah, we got to put on a happy face sometimes in relationships and yeah. life. But that's a thing that's like, oh, you knew the whole time you were going to dump me right after this.
Yeah. I think those are our personality differences, though, of like when something happens, my immediate thought is I fucked up, and I get very like anxious of there's something they're not telling me that I did wrong.
It depends. If we got in a fight during the trip and if it was something I did or maybe I felt like I picked a fight, then I would have that thought.
But if this is a premeditated breakup.
Yeah.
You know, the yeah. reality she that there's that. A fight. Yeah, and also, like, if there's anything little that happens, he's not going to be invested enough at this point to have a fight. He's going to be like, well, whatever, it's over anyways.
Yeah, or yeah. I was like, the other move is you have her come visit and you make it a bad weekend on purpose.
That's sick. That's sick.
That's like the middle school game, even high school game, I'll say, of I did that once, my high school boyfriend. I remember I just kind of started being a little bit of a bitch.
So
like,
I was
like,
you?
He's got to see it coming. He's just like... so happy and always in a good mood and so sweet and caring to me, and I was always obviously sweet and nice back to him. So then I was like I'm gonna like just be a little short with him, you know, like because I couldn't break up to that sweet, happy, had no idea it was coming guy. Like I felt like it was nice to kind of, you know, it's like how people will naturally pull back, like they'll be like they've been distant.
I feel like that's worse if you know you're gonna do it just to drag it out and like be a dick intentionally.
Yeah,
I feel like that's worse.
I mean, my method did work. He dumped me.
Okay.
But ever since then, I've never done that.
Yeah.
And that relationship taught me a lot. And I remember he came and dropped something off at my house and then was like, oh, do you want to come over and hang out? And I like made up some excuse. And mm-hmm. my mom heard me at the front door because this is before cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And he leaves. And then my mom, I think she heard me being like a little short and bitchy. And she came out around the corner and she just goes, if you don't want to date him anymore, break up with him.
Yeah, that's
the nicest
thing.
She goes, that's okay if you don't want to date him anymore, yeah. but just like, don't do whatever this is.
Yeah.
Like she was like, I could tell you don't. And I'm like, yeah, I don't.
Like, yeah. It really is the nicest thing that you can do to somebody is if you don't want to be with them, to let them go.
Yeah.
Because also, I mean.
Like, fully let them go. Don't keep contacting them.
Yes. Yes. 100%.
Let it go.
Yeah.
You're not their friend.
You should not be friends. But I mean, like you were 16, really like no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
But,
first real boyfriend, you know?
Yeah. That's okay. No one's going to hold it against you.
Yeah.
But these people, I would assume they're about 30. And so what do we
the guy's like 40.
Yeah. So what do we constantly say of like, don't be a time suck. Don't be someone who wastes my time.
Because, time thief.
Yeah. Same thing. TikTok is the time suck. Men are the time thieves. Got it. Okay. Nailed it.
That's a male phrase. Time thief.
What do you think the friend is ultimately going to do? Are they still kind of kicking it around?
I don't think. Because he looked at me when I was like, do it now. I was like, you got to make that call now.
Yeah.
And I was like, just make the reason that you don't see it going the long haul. You don't want to keep leading it on, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. So listeners, tag this to your story and say with the caption, do it now. maybe this friend will get the message and we can save this poor woman.
Break up now. It just breaks my heart to like hear the other end of like someone being like, I know I want to end it. And it just breaks my heart if I'm like, oh, I'd hate to be that girl.
Yeah.
Of just like, you know. I was like, you know. Like, you're acting like you don't know, but you know. I'm like, it's done.
So. I mean, having been blindsided by Space Jam, like, it sucks. Yeah. But the thing that I am so grateful for is that it happened so quickly. Like, at the time, I was like, this is awful.
Uh-huh.
But having it just him making the decision so quickly, it did save me from, like, just having more to get over, because the more time that you're together, the more things you have that you need to just recover from.
Yeah.
And including a really fun weekend together.
Yes.
That's gonna mess up her head.
Uh-huh.
Do it now. I'm gonna call her.
He's not gonna do it, but I'm in the boat of do it now.
Give me your number, I'll do it.
Yeah, because also like you said, it makes you follow through the conversation if the beginning is just, I don't think you should come visit this weekend.
Yes.
Like, clearly something's up.
Yes. Just end it.
I'm in the boat to end it. End it when you want to end it.
Yeah.
Realistically, we all maybe wait a week or two to Space like really Jam be sure.
He waited about 4 hours.
All right. Well, I guess that is a good quality of Space Jam.
Yeah.
We'll say. Yeah. It's a quality that hurts, but it is good in the end.
Yeah. I just had this thought 10 minutes ago. How about you go fuck yourself?
Sorry. Sorry I keep bringing up topics that pinpoint Space Jam.
I don't know. I think it's kind of funny. I'm dead inside.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, before we get to the meat of our episode, we are sponsored, everybody, by SunsetLakeCBD.com. Get all your CBD needs there. Use our promo code SGS20 for 20% off the entire site. They got everything.
Man, I really needed it after today.
Oh, yeah.
We had quite the day, guys. The Instagram was hacked. We got it back. Mm-hmm. But it was quite the roller coaster. And I am going to just, like, I think use it as mouthwash at this point. Like, maybe soak my contacts in it. I don't know. I'm like, my anxiety was so high all day.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to take a little bubble bath and some CBD. Yeah. Sunset Lake CBD.
I'm definitely going to take some CBD before the next time I go back into the office, because I think I indirectly told my whole office that I have herpes. because I flagged the account getting hacked immediately to the entire staff Slack channel, because I was like, we got engineers in here. This is a tech company. Yeah. Someone help me. Maybe someone knows someone at Instagram. And I just was like, my Instagram was hacked. They got everything. They got the email, the phone, the password. Everything has changed. Yeah. Like, I cannot get access to it. Does anyone have any tips? And then they were like, what's the handle? We can all go see and report the account. And I dropped the handle. And then I was like, oh.
Herpes.
There's like a herpy highlight reel right up there. You know, there's a lot going on.
Hashtag herpy highlights.
So that'll be fun. It'll be interesting. But, you know, it also was kind of impressive. Like, I do work at a social media company, and I'm like, hey, listen, I built a following over here.
Yeah. Right?
Don't mind. Don't pay attention to what's written and what the content is.
Yeah.
Just appreciate it. Give us a follow, huh?
I had just come off a dinner with colleagues. So similar to you, I'm a little embarrassed of, I, you know, work at a podcast company, and I kind of let the cat out of the bag that we have a legit podcast.
Yeah. Because,
you know, when people say they have a podcast, you're kind of like, oh, I want to drown myself from this conversation. This is awful. But then they were like, oh, that's like real. Because someone said to me, they're talking about someone we have as like a client, and they're like, yeah, like, they're, you know, a big deal, they were on We Met at Acme. I was on We Met at Acme.
Yeah.
This girl like basically spit out her drink, and I was like, hello.
Yeah.
And so then it was like, everyone was like, oh my god, Molly has like a real podcast. And I was like, I sure do. And then today I was like, I need help. Everything has been taken from me. They were just like, what is going on?
I know. The gods heard. The gods heard, and they wanted to humble us a little bit.
Yeah.
So anyway,
down.
We coped with Sunset Lake CBD today, and you should cope with Sunset Lake CBD as well. And use our promo code SGS20 for 20% off. And if you want better discounts and extra prizes and extra tea on the pod, a nice behind the scenes, join us on the Patreon, which is patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. We got a lot of juicy stuff going on over there.
Yeah, we do. Oh my God. It's a wild time.
Oh yeah. You really find the internet workings of the podcast world back there.
Yeah.
Let me just say that.
Yeah.
So it's fun.
And the Patreon gang, they're some of the most loyal people. Today they were messaging, they were trying to send us money to buy the ransom from the hacker. Everyone's like commenting on everything of just, you know, making sure we're good. So it's join the fam.
I know. I enjoy the conversation.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
It's like buying us a coffee every month, and you can buy the whole year and you get 10% off. So head on over to patreon.com/shootersgottashoot.
Yeah, do it.
All right, you ready?
Let's do hussy.
All right.
I'd love to do hussy. Don't tempt me with a good time.
Yeah. You want to do hussy? Yeah, who doesn't?
Yeah.
The first video we're going to be breaking down from Matthew Hussey is called Two Secrets That Get Him to Commit to You.
Here's the reason why people get so hurt in early relationships. They decide that they like a guy. And having decided that they like the guy, they invest an incredible amount in getting him to like them back. In other words, they give them their heart. I decide I like you or love you, and I say, here's my heart, it's yours, it belongs to you. This is not a romantic concept. We've been led to believe that this is romantic, that I can just abdicate responsibility and take no accountability for myself, just give myself over to you and see what you do with my feelings and my emotions.
So I have a thought right out the gate.
Okay.
I love that he started out trying to be so neutral and said, this is a mistake that people make when they start dating, and then immediately goes, they decide they like a guy, and they say, and like it switches immediately. Mm-hmm. So he's just like, he's trying so hard,
yeah,
but he's just, he might as well start with, listen, ladies.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It is his main audience, is women, he knows.
It's just so clear of like, okay, women get too invested too quickly.
I would say men do this as well, but his audience is women. But I feel like for men, it's okay for them to get invested too quickly because they're supposed to be the ones chasing.
Right, and it more so will work out for them. But I think he's mansplaining a little bit here. I love Hussey, but that's exactly what's happening. And I would just like it to be known.
But it is hard.
It is, because there is the excitement behind it too. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes too, when like it's not met as much, or even like when it is, you kind of want to just keep fueling the fire, if you will.
Yep.
And then sometimes it's just too much too fast, and it's like, okay, well, how do you kind of get off this hamster wheel now if you're just doing the most? Because then when you pull back, the other person might be like, wait, like what just happened? So I don't know, what were your thoughts?
I mean, it's hard of like, say you're doing online dating, like really trying it. So you're actively going on, let's say, 2 dates a week, trying to go on 2 dates a week, yeah, right? 1 to 2 dates a week. So you're constantly meeting people. Then you finally have somebody that you're like, oh, I really liked that person. It is very hard to not just want to talk to that person for a lot of people. Not everyone, but for a lot of people.
Yeah, I can't do it.
It's tough.
It's really hard. I'm a very one-track mind kind of person. Like when I'm into somebody, I'm all into them.
Yes.
And I think this is also a lot of people have just, I don't really have time to balance a bunch of people in a bunch of different conversations. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. I'm tired. I'm trying to get my Instagram accounts back. And so when I am invested in someone, that is kind of where my mind goes. So sometimes I think I tend to think too much into it and think it's further along than it is. Do you also feel like you have less of a concept of time with dating and when you like someone?
What do you mean? Like, I don't think so much how many dates I've gone on with them? Or do you mean,
like, when I'm talking with someone, sometimes I'll feel like we've just talked for like and it's a good connection. I feel like I've known them longer than I have, and I'll look back and I'll be like, oh, it's been like a month.
Yes.
Like, fucking chill.
Uh-huh.
And which I think then can be really hard is when you do feel like you have this good connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to really have this gut check of, oh, the time isn't there yet.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know, it's a tough balance.
Yeah, and that's why also communicating a lot via like texting fucks with your head.
It does.
Because it makes you feel like you really know them. And that's something that like matchmaker Maria with her 12 date rule, she was like, so many people are shocked when I'm like, I don't care how long you've been texting this man. This doesn't count towards my 12 date rule whatsoever.
Right.
She's like, that's not really you connecting with them and yeah. getting to know them.
Yeah. The older that I get, the more I like not texting someone mm-hmm. a lot and sort of building to it, because it is, I feel like a fake emotional connection, because it does yeah. feel like you're really building something with someone, and then it's just very shocking then when you're like, oh, this is a very different relationship.
Yeah, and it makes it harder to pay attention to the, like, don't pay attention to what they say, but what they do.
Yes.
Like, showing you some attention via texting or Instagram DMing, sending you memes, whatever it is, like, the easiest way, the lowest effort way to give you attention.
Yeah, and I think also it's easy to read something how you want to read it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think, who was it? Key and Peele.
Oh yeah,
they have a really, really great thing with,
I love that
just
sketch.
Yeah, it's a great sketch about just reading tones on texting, and this one has to do with like a fight, but the one person thinking that they're, you know, just having like a really nice conversation, the other one thinking they're being an asshole.
Uh-huh.
But I think it can be applied to dating, of just overthinking how nice someone is being because you like them and you want to think that they're
mm-hmm.
like saying something super, super nice to you.
Yeah.
When they might just be like, yeah, I'd like to hang out. Mm-hmm. If you ask them a question, instead of like, yeah, I'd really like to hang out. Those are two very different responses.
Yeah.
And you can trick yourself.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there's a point I want to talk about, but he gets to it like right now in the video. So.
All right, let's do it.
I want you to understand that there are two levers in falling in love. One is attraction. Attraction is when we actually decide that we like someone, that there's something to admire about them, that there's a spark between us, and so on. Then there's the investment lever. The investment lever is, how much do I invest in you? How much do I give to you? How much effort do I expend in pursuit of you or with you? That's investment. So attraction and investment, these two levers are side by side. Most people, when they feel a little bit of attraction, they yank down the investment lever. They say, oh my God, I'm attracted to someone, even a little bit. I'm gonna start trying as hard as I can to get them to like me. This is bad, because when you yank down the investment lever and they don't come with you, their attraction for you goes down. What we have to realize is the attraction lever is much more volatile. We don't have full control over who we're attracted to. That's part of the problem. Sometimes we're attracted to the wrong people. But we do have control over the investment lever. How much do I give to you? How much effort do I put in? I have full control over that. And just because I get attracted to you, it doesn't mean I should invest in you. There is a difference. We have to be steady hand with the investment lever, even if the attraction lever is really volatile. We have to be really steady hand with this. Oh, I'm attracted to you? Okay, let me invest a little. Do you invest back? Oh, you did? Okay, let me invest a little bit more. Because investing full on never made anybody like us. If anything, it just scares people away, or it shows them that they can use us and treat us badly. Some people invest all of their time. Other people invest their bodies and their intimate in ways that they really only want to be with someone that they're really partners with, but they're doing it with this person because they really like them. Introducing this person to their family or their friends, or by missing work for them, or by helping that person with a project that they can help with. They try in all of these ways to invest because they think that that's what will make the difference.
This is a very hard truth for a lot of people, myself included.
Yeah.
Because I'm a very, like, if I'm into you, I'm attracted to you, it's like, that's very hard.
Yeah. The attraction gets tricky, and I think it is hard to remember that how many hot assholes are out there, you know? Like, there's so many people that I'm like, oh, you are so fine.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, like, if you just didn't talk,
yeah,
it'd be so much better.
Yeah, or you're like, but they're my hot asshole.
Right, they're mine. They like me too.
He's not an asshole to me.
Yeah.
All of the time.
Yeah, and I think sometimes too, there's a bit of flattery that feels like investment if a hot person is like giving you just like the bare minimum, you know, because you're like, oh, they think I'm hot too. Yeah. You know,
literally just choosing to be out seen with you feels like an investment from a hot person.
It does.
Because you're like, well, you're hot. You could be out with so many different people, but you're coming out with me.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ah. Yeah.
But it's just so true of like whether it's like the physical attraction or just like that pull you feel towards people, mm-hmm. because it's like you want to not only be with them, but like the thing he said, especially that so many women do, is the helping thing.
Yeah.
So many women will all of a sudden start being this like big help, whether it's like to that person's career, mm-hmm. or like literally to like basic things in their life.
Yeah, I've made this mistake before.
Mm-hmm.
And
we all have.
Yeah. And I think the thing that he talks about of like someone like taking advantage of you or like taking sort of like your investment too far, that can almost feel like them meeting your investment, but that's just because they accept your help doesn't mean that they're investing more in you.
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing for you once you make that investment? And I think it can be really hard to have that self-awareness and actually like self-love that like you deserve something back.
Oh yeah. This just reminds me of like, it's actually something my grandmother would say because she got divorced.
So she knows.
Yeah. She would always say, you don't want to be the person that loves more. You want the other person to be the person that loves more. And this is a very like rules mentality, right? Mm-hmm. But even like if you break down that quote to a more simple level of like, think of when you've had friends or family members, whoever, in relationships, and you can clearly see one person is the one always doing all the work and like helping the other person.
Yeah.
And like making the other person happy. And then you're like, okay, but what did they do for you? And a lot of times it's nothing.
Right.
And it's like that's heartbreaking to see, especially when it's like your friend. You're like, you don't see it because you like this person, but we all see it.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's so hard to watch.
Mm-hmm.
There is something though about this that Hussy doesn't give me here.
Okay.
And usually I don't strike down Hussy videos, so I don't know if I'm just in the mood tonight.
Okay.
But he doesn't tell us examples of what those small investments in the beginning are.
Mm.
And I do think, and he makes a reference of sleeping with someone too soon towards the end of that argument. So it's like, okay, what are the examples of small investments that you can be making in someone to show that you're interested without being too much too fast?
Mm-hmm. I think it's more like, okay, yeah, obviously when you like someone, you're gonna naturally maybe do something for them, do a little thing. Maybe it's like for a date, you're like, hey, come to my apartment, I'll cook dinner. Okay. So that's like you doing something, some type of work that's like a nice thing for the person, right? Mm-hmm. That you take the lead of planning the date, doing something nice. If you're always the one doing those nice things and the other person isn't ever doing something thoughtful like that, then it's like clear, like you're investing, they're not investing.
Okay.
Like you're the one making the plans, they're the one that just shows up. That's how I would see it. So I feel like it's like, yeah, obviously like do something nice. You're into that person. It's new. It's exciting, right?
Yeah.
Then see if they do something for you. It's like with initiating texting. It's so simple of like,
yeah,
you're initiating texting and then, you know, a lot of people don't want to never text them because then the fear is I'm not going to hear from them. And it's like, well, that's the most telling thing.
Right. And he does have another concept. I don't think he talks about it in this video, but it's his theory of being in the blue.
Yeah.
And so what he says is like, think about how much you're texting someone. And mm-hmm. I think that's a great example of a small way to invest in someone.
Yep.
Is communication. And being in the blue is like if most of the communication is you sending messages to them and then they're giving you like one text or just like one word answers, then it's you're in the blue. You're investing too much. They're just simply existing.
Yeah.
And not giving you much.
You know what I think is the most simple example?
Hmm.
Is say the first date you go, they come to your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
The next date they invite you to their neighborhood.
Yep.
And if you're like, you know, it's not convenient or whatever, like if you don't go, like if you don't go to their neighborhood, that's such a clear, like simple thing.
Yeah, I think that's a really good example. And it also shows of like, okay, if we are to build a relationship, this is where the relationship exists and it's not outside of this zip code.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've had that. I think honestly, when we lived in Queens, it was so much easier to tell because you're like, yeah, if a guy comes to Queens, he's India.
He's willing to go. Yeah,
but most will not go.
It's just there was that viral TikTok thing I saw, and it was someone's theory saying whoever's apartment or house you're at more in the relationship is the person that holds the power in the relationship. And I was like, and I think so that's such true. A hard truth for everyone to hear.
That's true.
Or what's hard about New York is just like, well, you could sit there and go, well, I have a roommate. They don't have a roommate. So obviously we would go to their place more because we don't feel, you know, in someone else's space.
Right.
So it's like, sometimes there's little things like that where you're like, but the truth is just like, if there's a vast difference of how many times you're at your place versus theirs, I think that's a very telling sign.
Yeah. And I think those do end up being a little bit of excuses that we make, yes, when we like someone. Because when I dated Space Jam, I had the exact same thoughts. I was like, well, you know, at the time, the
same with Eggs Benedict.
Yeah. The apartment that we had, we didn't have a living room. It was the thick of COVID. So all of his roommates had left. He just had this 3-bed to himself. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is great. But when I look back, I realize that at the beginning, he would come out and like come to our apartment, mm-hmm, and he said he didn't care, that it was fine. And then there was all of a sudden a shift where I was going there every time. And it was like actually more of a financial investment too, because mm-hmm, I was taking Ubers there every time back and forth. And so I was just, you know, making excuses in my head of, well, you know, I'm not going out to bars because it's COVID. So like, this is like not having a bar bill, and, mm-hmm, you know, he's buying the dinner. So it's like, we're even, but it's like, no, he's still never making the gesture to come to you.
Mm-hmm. So, I think that's very telling.
Yeah.
I think that's a very telling in the beginning thing for no matter what gender, no matter who you date, what just, yeah. It's like, do they come to your neighborhood as much as you go to their neighborhood?
Because also I find that in a city like New York, what will tend to happen too is then when you move in together, it's in that person's, yep, neighborhood. Is, yep, they end up winning the argument. And this happens all the time. If you hear a couple say, mm-hmm, like, no, I'm never gonna move to Brooklyn, never gonna do it. Uh-huh. They're gonna end up coming to Manhattan. Nope.
Nope.
They will, if that's where you're spending your time, you will be in Brooklyn within a year.
Yeah.
I promise you.
Uh-huh.
The thing that really gets people attracted is when they realize that in order to get our investment, they have to invest too. It's for that reason, by the way, that I hate the metaphor of giving our heart to somebody, because I really believe that our heart isn't a possession. Our heart is a place. It's a place that someone can visit. Depending on how much they've invested, they can access some parts of it and not others. And if they want to access more of our heart, more of this wonderful place, then they have to invest more. Some people, they invest enough to become a permanent resident of that heart, of that place. When we like someone, stopping ourselves from investing can be very, very difficult. But it doesn't have to be complex. There are right moments to invest and right moments to pull back. Knowing the difference is what will absolutely control someone's attraction for you, how much they want you, and how much they see you as genuine relationship potential.
Okay, that was the one thing I forgot from earlier, of him saying when you do actually invest a ton, like when you make that decision, you just invest a lot, how, mm-hmm, it often turns people off.
Mm-hmm.
That I think is a very valid point.
Yeah, because it scares them off. And yeah. I think that's very true. And I think that happens to both men and women. Of,
uh-huh,
I mean, the people who I have been least attracted to, I think, tried the hardest to get me.
Yeah.
That was like, yeah, it's too easy. You know, like, this, yeah, is just, it kind of gets annoying.
The point he made in the second part is also me sitting there being like, oh yeah, it's also like, I want to feel like I got to work for it a little bit.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to feel like they had to put a little work in to get this other person.
And also this feeling of, you don't just do this to everybody.
Exactly. Also that.
Because, you know, sometimes I'm sitting there and just like, you don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what has you so excited?
Yeah.
Like, it's throwing me off because it just feels disingenuous. And also, like, I might really disappoint you because whatever this is,
uh-huh,
it's not about who I am really as a person, because there's no way you've gotten below the surface.
Mm, very true.
I think that's a really, really good point.
Yeah, I think of it, for me personally, it's like a basic level of, like, how much effort do I put into my appearance when I'm going to go see this person?
Mm, yeah.
But for me, I'm like, oh, that's when I know I really like someone, is when I'm like, all right, I want to show up looking real good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You, like, know? Whereas, yeah, like, I've had the dates where I'm like, yeah, whatever. He wants me. Like, I'll just, yeah, roll up.
Oh, for sure.
I'll just roll up in my work clothes, like, not care. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, bags under my eyes. Yeah. No, it's so true. I actually just had a friend texting me that she was going out with a guy and starting to realize as she was getting ready to go out that it was a date, and like she didn't mean for it to be a date. So she's kind of like, shit. So then she texts me after. She was like, I was late and I showed up with wet hair. She's like, I think he got it. I was like, God, I hope so.
Unfortunately, he might not have, but yeah, you never know. No. You never know on that.
You know what I think about really with this kind of stuff, and that I actually personally need to be better about?
Okay.
Is when I was a little kid, my mom would say to me with friends, she like taught me vocabulary. She was like, the word reciprocate. Ooh. She was like, that means that if you do something for someone, you invite a friend over to play at the house, they need to invite you too. Because she was, because especially for me, more so than my brother and sister, because we moved to my new house when I was two and they put in a pool. And so my mom was like, you will be taken advantage of because kids will come over here and use that pool. She's like, your real friends will invite you to go play at their house, whether or not they have a pool or not. And so that was something that I really always based my friendships on of, okay, who invites me? Mm-hmm. And it was something I was always very conscious about of making sure that when I got invited somewhere, I invited someone back.
Yep.
And I think that applies to relationships of, okay, if, again, like the neighborhood date, if we go out in their area, then, okay, will they come to mine? Or, you know, is there this give and take?
Yeah.
Because that's how relationships work. And that's how you build a relationship, not just dive headfirst into something with a stranger, you know, and even like adult friendships. I think the strongest friendships that I have are things that have built and not just been like, oh, we, you know, hang out every second and only go to parties together all the time. And, you know, we know so much about each other. I'm like, yeah, I'll go get fucked up with those people, but they don't know shit about me.
Yeah.
The ones who I talk to and have real conversations with, it is a back and forth on those things. And those are real genuine relationships.
Oh, absolutely. All right. So we have another quick video that he breaks down this kind of investing a little bit. And it's called How to Know If You Should Keep Trying with Him. This one is gendered, but I would say it would be for either.
Invest in those who invest in you. Don't invest in someone based on how much you like them. But there is a challenge to this that I think is interesting because it adds a little nuance. Someone could easily say, but Matthew, and by the way, someone did say this. I was on a podcast with Lisa Bilyeu. She said to me upon hearing this, I love that, but doesn't that get you into a kind of standoff with someone where you're both holding your gun, waiting for the other person to draw before you do anything? Can it lead to a situation where relationships are simply transactions where you wait for somebody else to invest before you do anything at all? This is where a principle comes in to temper this idea. We have to invest and then test. Invest, then test. In other words, give a little and then see if they move a little to meet you where you are. I think about this from the first moment you meet someone. You know, you see someone in a coffee shop. It's like you both, maybe you both are attracted. You both want to talk to each other. One person at some point has got to make it easier on both of you, right? Someone has to take responsibility for making it a bit easier. So what happens? Maybe one person goes and sits close to that person, right? I know we live in a world now where the idea of going and sitting close to someone seems like a thing of the past. What an anachronism. You go sit somewhat close to that person. That person, oh, this person I was making eye contact with is now sitting kind of close to me. Now one person says, you're all right. You know, I like that. What you've ordered there looks delicious. And then, oh, it is delicious. I've had it before. How are you? What's your name? Now you've got a conversation that's happening because both people, they put in a little bit. Sometimes in the beginning, one person has to overcome another person's shyness and do something a bit more drastic. Go over and just start talking to them because this person is never going to come over of their own volition. That happens at that stage. Then there's the later stages of, okay, when we're in the texting phase, I need to look and see, as Jameson and I have talked about previously in a video, am I in the blue? That's a form of taking a leap of faith that, well, I like someone, so I'm going to let them know about it and I'm going to see how they respond. But then actually paying attention to the response. Is the investment equal, or do you always feel like you're the one investing a lot more than that person is? Invest, then test. I don't mean test in the manipulative game playing sense. Simply measure, like, what's the reaction?
Okay, so you broke down a little more of like, what's the investment and how do you, I guess, judge and wait?
Yeah. And I do like that at the end, he said, don't do it in a manipulative way.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I do think it's very much feeling somebody out versus like, okay, what are they going to do for me? Which I think it can very easily kind of get in that toxic space of I did this. Why am I not getting this? Which
right.
Like, yeah, you have to play to a degree, but it is more of just like feeling their vibe.
Yeah.
And just not moving too fast.
A big thing too. I remember I just saw a clip recently from the movie, The Breakup.
Ooh, good movie.
And their big kind of like last fight, Jennifer Aniston is just being like, I do all these things. And she like lists all this stuff she does. And she's like, I have done everything I could. I've really tried. And I feel like you don't even like appreciate all these things I do for you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's another form of it, of like down the line of just being like, oh, I feel like I'm always the one doing these thoughtful things or like making your life easier. And there's no part that I feel like you're making my life easier.
Yeah. And I
think even appreciating what I'm doing.
Right. And I think you need to not feel that way at the onset, because there's a very strong likelihood that the rest of the relationship is going to take that tone. Mm-hmm. And then in your head, you're going to be keeping score. And that's where you get in a really toxic place.
Right. Because when you do something for someone, you should do it because you just genuinely want to.
Right.
Like, if you're doing everything and then, yeah, just keeping score or being like, I did this for you, so what are you going to do for me? It's like, no, that's not really loving someone.
Right.
But then that's also why you'll get blinded by like, oh, wait, I'm the one doing all the work and I didn't realize that before.
And I think what can be so hard, though, is like, okay, yeah, good people, when you like someone, you'll do something to help them out. If it's someone you like romantically, just as a person, you know, whatever. So I think it can be hard to understand like how much help is too much help and when you maybe shouldn't when do you start to help someone, or like, I, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the help especially. But I feel like if it's something small, like the easiest thing I think of is like if you're going to someone's apartment and you're like, I'm on my way, is there anything you want me to pick up on my way?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a very nice, simple, easy, helpful thing that, like, I say that to friends.
Right.
And that's not something that's crazy.
Right.
Right. I mean, I would think they're not going to give you a crazy request, but maybe it's just like, oh, stop by Duane Reade and get, you know, a mixer because I have this booze.
Right. They're not going to be like, bring the Dom Pérignon.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, if they do, that's very telling.
I'll be like, oh, something came up. Yeah. I can't make it anymore. I'm sick.
Yeah. But it's like, if it was something like, I don't know, like, introducing them to some like big connected person and maybe their industry or somewhere they want to work, it's like, yeah, that's a really big thing that it's like, wait a minute, is this person worth you like suddenly shelling out all your resources for?
Yeah. And then it gets sort of tangled up when it is like at work is a great example. It gets sort of mixed up of like, then that person does still have to talk to you and be in your good graces if you're making some sort of professional jump or connection for them. Mm-hmm. So that's really confusing for you of, is this the only reason this is staying around?
Yeah, or the only reason they're interested in me.
Yes.
Especially if it's something like, did they know this the whole time?
So that's, it's tricky.
Yeah, or I'd say a rule of thumb for help is just like, is the person asking for my help?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people also just don't want help unless they're asking you for it.
Yeah, don't meddle.
Yeah, no.
Do not do that. Because it's also, I do feel like in the early stages of a relationship, you shouldn't really be knowing about someone's current problems.
Yeah.
As much, like, they should have their own people that they go to for help or be solving the problems on their own instead of going to you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a little bit where people can get sort of like diced up because you're texting so much that, I don't know, like, say, I don't have anybody to text right now, but if I had a bad day, I would have told them that our Instagram stuff got stolen.
Yeah.
You know, of just blowing off steam and like, what the fuck am I going to do? And because that's also the person at your disposal to talk to.
Yeah.
And I think that can easily happen when you're just talking to someone too much too early. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of know too much.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's a weird dance.
Yeah.
It's a weird dance, but
neither of us have nailed it.
No. That's why it's hard. I mean, that's why he made a second video kind of on the same topic where he's like, all right, now everyone's being like, well, how much do I invest? And what? How do you measure that you're not doing too much?
Yeah.
And it's like, look, it says invest and test because it's, you know, it's catchy. Yeah. It's easy to remember.
Right.
But I just feel like it's like, yeah, I think it's, I think of it as simple as just like initiating. Because it's the same of like, you know, you give the example of like, you, someone had to move to somebody in the coffee shop to talk first, right?
Yeah.
Same with like, you DM someone first. That's why a lot of times the best DMs, everyone's like, go something simple. Yeah. And it's just like, if they want to talk to you, they're going to talk to you.
Yes.
Or it's the same as like, out in public, you say something of like, hey, blah, blah, oh, like, oh, I really like your shoes. That's a good line for guys, you know, just like, hey, oh, I really like those shoes. And if they're just like, oh, thanks, and they don't try to continue the convo at all, it's like, all right, well, there's your answer.
Right.
If they wanted to keep talking to you, they would say something back.
Right.
Or ask you some kind of question.
Yeah. Want to know a funny story about a situation like that?
What?
I was at a super crowded bar one time, and this super hot guy said something to me, and I said something sarcastic back. I had my hair up in like a half bun. So he said something about it, how it like, it looked like a, I don't know. Something he said was like really dumb. And I was like, so it looks like a regular fucking bun. And it just was like really rude back to him. But it was so crowded. He couldn't get away from me and stop talking to me. So he felt like he had to talk to me. So anyways, we then just get into what I think is great banter. We hook up that night. We end up hanging out for a couple weeks. I think things are going great. And then finally he told me, he was like, yeah, like I get that you're funny now. He was like, but at the time I couldn't get away from you. He was like, I did not. He was like, I guess it kind of worked out, but he was like, no, I hated you.
That's so funny. Yeah. You're like, you had to talk to me. So yeah. I was standing right there.
Yeah, he was like, it was Phoebe's at like around Halloween. I think it was Halloween weekend. Mm-hmm. So it was just like packed in like sardines. You literally couldn't move.
That's so funny.
And he was like, it was impossible to get away from you.
That's hilarious.
I was like, wow.
It's like, I had to give you a second chance.
Yeah.
Which I would be like, you definitely didn't.
Yeah, no, he really didn't. I just was drunk and kept talking. And he laughed, I think, because he was just uncomfortable. Oh, I was like, I'm nailing it.
All right, there's like one more part of this video.
Let's do it.
See what it says.
In dating in general, I think one of the big problems is we don't do enough communicating, but we do too much chasing. Communicating is letting someone know that you like them. I find you attractive. I'd love to hang out sometime. We should go for a coffee. Or I'm into you. You know, I like something about you. Or you look cute in that top or whatever. That's communicating. What I'm doing there is showing that I like you. Chasing is when you continue to invest in someone. You continue to keep chasing them, to keep giving them energy, long after the point of having already communicated that you like them and without the equivalent return of attention, of interaction from them. That's chasing. I'm a huge proponent of communicating and someone who's trying to stop people from chasing. When I say invest in who invests in you, it's not about always waiting for someone else to make the first move. Investing a little bit so that someone knows where you stand, so that someone knows that you like them, so that someone knows you're open to a date, so that someone knows that you'd like to see them for a second date, so that someone knows that you find them attractive, sexy, appealing as a human being. That's brave, that's vulnerable, that's courageous. Chasing someone is a sign of low self-worth, losing our own self-respect, and having put someone on a pedestal. And I say put someone on a pedestal because how can someone be so great that you continue to chase them when they're not giving you that back? No one can be that great. Because someone who's great for a relationship with you doesn't just come in the form of someone who's got great qualities. It comes in the form of someone who represents a great energy in your life, represents a great investment in you as a human being. You can't have one without the other. You can't have someone who's great for a relationship but doesn't invest. So chasing is chasing someone who you admire, who you think is great, but someone who ultimately is not actually investing in building something with you.
Amen.
This just reminds me of like when you talk the rules and it's basically setting the man or the other person up to chase you for like the rest of their life.
Yeah, I was thinking that during actually most of this video is that it is, this is very anti-rules, which yes. I like. Mm-hmm. And I think it also really accurately says that a good relationship is a two-way street.
Yes.
You know, like,
I'm sorry, but like I was gonna say, if a guy kept chasing me, if I was doing the rules that strictly, or like when I talk to men about those rules, everyone's just like, well, at a certain point, it's on that person.
Yeah.
It's not on you that's not giving to them. It's on them of being dumb of like, you're going to keep going after this. Like, right. Let that go.
Yeah. And I like how he said that it is really this just like, I don't think he used the word desperation. I don't remember exactly what
he said. It's low self-esteem.
Low self-esteem. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just someone who, I don't know. I just, when that happens, I just kind of feel like a sitting duck, honestly, mm-hmm. of like, all right, so I just looked easy to you, like, because you felt like you could get me.
Yeah.
And clearly other people shut you down, you know? Like, it just, I don't, yeah, there's something almost not flattering to it to a point.
Yeah, or it's like, actually, I think about when we talked to Hannah Berner, and she talked about with when she first started dating Dez, how she was like, oh, I put up something that, like, alluded to me maybe hanging with some other guy, and he just immediately was like, hey, are you putting this up to, like, try to make me jealous? Do X, Y, Z? He was like, I'm not going to play this game.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm into you. I like you. I want to keep seeing you. If you want to run around with 100 people, fine. Go do that. But I'm not going to be here. And I'm like, that's a very, like, I'm not going to chase you forever.
Yeah. And I think what's really important about that situation is that he actually, like, outlined his feelings to her.
Yeah.
And didn't just gaslight her. Because I've had the opposite. And it can be a little confusing of, like, I had a dating tweet that I was just trying to get, like, picked up, and a guy that I was talking to responded to it just to, like, let me know that he saw it. Was really just thinking, oh, he was
whatever.
Like, and I was like, does this upset you? Mm-hmm. Like, because if it does, we should have a conversation about this, mm-hmm. because that's what you do. And he was like, no, I'm just surprised that you would, you know, post it knowing that I follow you. I was like, so do a lot of other people, dog. Like, come on. Like, what do you mean? Uh-huh. And so, like, he wouldn't admit that he was bothered by it.
Exactly.
That it's like, okay, then either you're not emotionally intelligent enough to have this conversation, or you're just gaslighting me and trying to make me feel bad about something that I shouldn't be feeling badly about, because we're not in a relationship.
Yeah. Or it's just, yeah, you can't have that conversation, because it's like, all right, if you want to say something upsets you, you can't just be like, I'm upset. It's like, okay, well, why does this upset you?
Yeah.
So it's, that's something that's like, okay, if you're going to be upset but not tell me why, then don't even tell me you're upset.
Right. Like, and, but I think that's a manipulative move of then getting me to add more and, like, apologize and come crawling back. And it's like, no, you don't owe someone that, because they're not mm-hmm. actually giving you something in that scenario.
Oh, exactly. If someone's upset with you and they can't articulate why or talk to you about it, and they just, like, ice you out or do some weird stuff, it's just like, no, that's just a weird manipulative game. And I'm like, be an adult. Tell me why you're mad.
Right.
And let's get through this.
Yeah. Use your words.
Yeah. Put a little work in. But yeah, that's why I agree of, like, the communication part is, like, just, like, telling someone you like them is actually, like, a very confident thing to do.
It is. And I think something that I need to get better about, and it, liking them and the compliments he gave, I thought were really good. I am so bad about actually being able to do that when I like someone, and I don't know why. And I feel like it comes out when I'm drunk and, like, I can be really nice.
Okay.
But then when I'm just, like, with someone that I like, I'll get really shy and it's hard to say.
Yeah. It's hard to be the first one to say it.
Right.
Very much.
And I don't know why compliments are so hard, because I'm like, yeah, like, I'm here because you look good. Like, you know that, right? Yeah. I don't got to say it. But I do think it is, like, a little investment that is an easy way not to go too much too fast and to, like, read their reaction. Mm-hmm. But I think when you're drinking and you start to give those compliments, or, like, I feel like I do it in bed more, just being like, you're so hot.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, does this really even mean anything?
I mean, I would take that home with me. Yeah. I'd be like, they said I was hot.
Yeah.
They said I was hot. Well, I don't care where it was, when it was. I'd be like, I'm hot. They said so. So.
Go back. They've got it, like, in a quote book.
Yeah.
Like, you're so fucking hot, Molly DeMille.
I'd write it quotes, down. I'd write it down in my accomplishments. Yeah. I mean, it's just interesting because, like, every relationship is always, like, communication is key.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is just another thing of communication. Or it's just like, yeah, that tends to be a secure relationship when both people are just like, yeah, we both openly express that we like the other person. We're in this. We're not seeing other people. Like, whenever all those little things are, it's like, yeah, that's not doing this chase game. So it's like, whether you're the one that's constantly chasing, like, continually chasing after mm-hmm. it's like, hey, it's clear that this person's not giving you that energy back, or you're constantly the one that is trying to get them to chase you, I'd say both are bad.
Yeah.
Both are equally bad, where it's just like, no, don't do that.
Do you think there's a way early on to like effectively communicate to someone that you need them to chase you a little bit more, or you feel like things are one-sided. That's very
interesting.
Because there are times where it's like, this is just a tough read. I do feel like there's something going on here. Do I just need to like slow it down way more in my head? Or do I need to tell this person that essentially they're not meeting my love languages, or they're not communicating to me the way that I need to be communicated with?
My first thing is, I would say, how long have you been dating?
Maybe not dating. What if it's just like initial, gone out like a couple of times?
I mean, I've just point blank been like, I gotta be honest, I don't feel like you like me. I think that's just a very honest thing to say. I'm just like, I have a great time with you, I'm into you, but to be honest, I don't feel like you really like me, and that we're more than like friends. It's like a very simple way to say that.
Okay.
And it's basically like, well, you're gonna get an answer.
Yeah. Because
I don't, yeah, the idea of like trying to get them to chase you more is I think of manipulative things. It's like the only examples that come into my head of the like, oh, do the Instagram story that there's like just some guy's arm in it. And it looks like, oh, I could be at dinner with some other guy.
Yeah. No. I don't mean like trying to get them to like, you know, come after you, but of like communicating, like, I need you to like chase after me a little bit, or to, you know, like do a little more for me.
I mean, I feel like you could point blank say that. I would straight up be like, I don't feel like you are into me that way.
Okay.
I'm into you. I don't feel like you're into me that way. And like, if that's the case, like, cool. But
yeah.
You know,
because I feel like that's where people, and I have definitely done this before, just tend to overinvest, is because it's that feeling of like, okay, well, if I communicate more of just not, I guess, like not saying how you really feel, of just kind of dancing around it, then they're going to have to respond to me. And it feels like things are growing and progressing, and they're not.
Yeah. I mean, I think your two options are say something about it, or you pull back.
Yeah.
And see if they come around. Because we've all been there where like, maybe you don't even realize the other person feels that way of like, oh, there's no chase from you, right? Because it's like, oh, well, whenever they text me, I answer. They ask me to go out, I go out with them. But it's like, say you went on 3 dates with the guy, you're feeling him, and then all of a sudden you don't hear from him for a week.
Yeah.
You're like, wait, what the, where'd that good person go?
Yeah.
And it does like switch something in you that's like, oh, I should reach out. Like, but it's like, yeah, that could work, you know? And that's why I don't like a lot of like super hard rules that are like, never initiate till he's your boyfriend. Cause it's like, I've known many guy friends that have done that have been like, you know what? I never hear from her. And they go, I'm gonna pull back and see if I hear from her. And the fact that if you're a girl being stubborn, being like, well, I'm the, you know, the girl, so he needs to chase me. It's like, all right, well, you might have lost some good dudes. Like,
yeah.
Because it's like, people are human. And they're sitting there being like, yeah, I don't feel like she likes me. She doesn't even send me a fucking meme every once in a while. Yeah. Like, or something. You know what I mean? Like, even like a fucking Snapchat. That's just some random shit. Doesn't even have to be interesting. But she's like, oh, she thought to send this to me.
Right.
She made a touch point of like, oh, I haven't heard of that person in a minute. Or even just a like, hey, was thinking about you. You don't even say was thinking about you. Just like, hey, how's your day going? Like something fucking simple.
Yeah. I like how you said, worded that, touch points. Like, I think you do really need to get the touch points in.
Yeah.
For just to like let things build a little bit.
Right. In today's world, that's how you tell someone likes you.
Yeah.
Is you hear from them in some way.
Yes. There's so many different forms of communication that it gets very confusing.
Yeah. Like, I went on a second date about a week apart. And the fact that I didn't hear anything from that man till the morning of the date, message, I respond. I don't hear anything till I'm here at the date.
Yeah, you knew how that date was going to go.
Well, I went into the date not in a great mood because I just was like, I don't think this guy is that into me.
Yeah, this now feels like a waste of my time.
Yeah, like I was like, now I don't really want to go, but I'll go. Anyway, you can hear more about that on the Patreon. You want to join?
It's a good story.
But it was just very like, wow, I got nothing. Like, it was just like, yeah, I don't feel wanted.
Yeah, it's like, okay, who's your flavor of the week now? Kind of thing. It's like, maybe you're into someone more.
I mean, I didn't even think that. I just was like, this guy just isn't that into me. Where I was like, all right, I'm gonna roll into my work clothes, baby. I am not re-showering and redoing my hair.
Oh, absolutely not.
No, not worth it.
Go in with the wet hair, man. That's the move. If you're not into it anymore, wet hair.
But that, I mean, I've done that even being into people, but I have a bad habit of that. But
you also have good curly wet hair.
I have decent, my hair can dry naturally. Yeah. All right, not bad.
Yeah, this was Bella, who was the thickest hair in the world.
Oh, I got.
I was like,
hair.
that was a fucking mop. Also, that she just, walked in with.
It's Bella. Yeah. It's more. It's just Bella. Yeah. But, like Bella would. Bella would never.
I was like I've seen.
Like,
you
when
with
you told that story, I originally thought Bella. Then when you said wet hair, I said not Bella.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's what my brain said.
That's why it was like, oh no.
I was like, not her. I know her.
When I read that text, my jaw dropped.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
But basically, I went into the date going, this person hasn't invested shit into getting to know me or communicating with me. So yeah, get your touch points in.
Yeah.
Do what you gotta do. And follow us on the Instagram, because we got it back. Shooters Gotta Shoot Pod.
We're driving again, baby.
Yeah, we're having a great time. We're at 26K. Thank you all for joining and listening. And if you want to follow me, I'm at Sparica with two A's.
And I'm at TheGuaca_Molly.
And we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.